Okay.
Sounds good. We're live. Okay, sound good. You look right
great. On. Yeah.
Love the new setup.
Got
live
new
on
setup.
YouTube, Rumble, Twitter, about to be live on Rockfin. I see Brucey in the chat. It's good to see you. Been a while. Hope you're doing well. And all right, here we go. We're also live on Rockfin. Trump trial day one. The media resorts to literal puppets and they reframe a lie because they had to. This is Propaganda Reports Drive Time News Blast. I'm here with Ian. Ian, thank you for joining me. I'm excited to show you what I saw in the first trial today of a president, a former sitting or former president on criminal trial for the first time and with no video and audio recording allowed in the courtroom. The question arises, how would the media communicate this very important and historic event to the American public?
With integrity.
Without having that camera and audio in the trial. Well, I'll tell you how they'll communicate this story to the public. They'll do it with AI-voiced bobbleheads.
Yes!
This case is about whether this man broke the law. Did he falsify business records in order to cover up an agreement to unlawfully influence the 2016 presidential election?
As you can see,
Are you kidding me? No, I'm not. This was real?
Yeah, no, that was from Politico. They took the transcript of what's going on in this trial, and their artist, they called it, created this bobblehead AI voice depiction of the
Trump,
courtroom.
They were nice with Trump's
action.
Hair. They were really, these artists really did a good job. They did a good job with his hair.
Trump looks fantastic.
He does. He looks 10 years younger.
I think, like, you see this at first, and you think it's somebody's got to be kidding. I actually think they were sitting around in the newsroom going, well, we can't be in the courtroom or get the audio. How do we bring this to life for our viewers so they know how really awful Trump is? And somebody who watched Team America the night before said, bobbleheads.
Yeah.
And nobody objected to that, and this is a product of it. And the reason I think they were serious is because when you watch the chief legal analyst of Politico, who is setting up all of these clips for us, you can see how very serious he is, and you'll see him here in this next clip. Very, very much a dweeb, this guy.
A big theory of the prosecution's case is that Trump orchestrated hush money payments to Stormy Daniels in the final weeks of the 2016 campaign because Trump was worried about negative publicity around his conduct with women. Because what had happened just a few days earlier was the release of the extremely controversial Access Hollywood tape. And so the prosecution says that the Trump campaign was on high alert for this potentially bad publicity. The prosecutors asked to play the Access Hollywood tape for jurors as evidence of this theory.
The court has ruled that the Access Hollywood tape is relevant to the critical issues in this case. However, the court struck a compromise that precludes the people from playing the tape, but permits testimony about the tape and its impact on the campaign.
It's not a moot point. I think that this is kind of the impetus.
That's the judge.
This is what led to everything that followed, so it is not a moot point. To play the tape itself is so prejudicial. To see Mr. Trump depicted in the words coming out of his mouth, facial expressions, hand gestures, I remain convinced at this moment, based upon what I anticipate will be the evidence, that the tape itself should not come in. I am clarifying my ruling. You can bring out what was said in the tape. What I didn't want was for the jurors to hear Mr. Trump's voice and see the gestures.
So
we're learning that
what I think is interesting is how it's like they got the animators from, you know, those old Rudolph animations.
Oh yeah, when you're the Rankin Bass, the Rankin Bass. Yeah.
The way the mouth doesn't match anything, they can't even use modern technology to do good.
And they just keep going back and forth like this.
No, that's how they covered it. That is how they are overcoming.
That is ridiculous.
You know, you think that
is that
AI,
to get the kids indoctrinated in the media?
Yeah, I guess I don't know what that is.
I'll bet you that's what it's for.
I don't know how much more ridiculous we can get with the way that they're doing some of this. I mean, almost literal puppets here. You could have Jim Henson puppets come on screen, and it wouldn't be any more stupid.
It's so disturbing.
I mean, they should get actors is what they should do. They do this with documentaries where they make it, they mix documentaries with actual people involved in things. But then the people who didn't want to be involved, they have an actor just read the lines that the people said, like in the police report. And it's all kind of, it's all real fake. They should just start doing that and have like a Trump impersonator and stuff come in. Thank you, Tony. Yeah, the guy was a total dweeb. And they totally, nobody, this is a problem when you don't have anybody who can say, hey, maybe that's not the best idea.
Just have the other people from the network play the roles.
Right, exactly. And so Brucey noticed what I was trying to transition to next, which is he says, why the F are they wearing blankets, right? So from three bobbleheads, or from some bobbleheads to three bobbleheads over at CNN that are just a little bit more lifelike. And CNN did this coverage today where they're sitting on like a porch outside of the courtroom, and Anderson Cooper and these, the porcelain doll, Caitlin Collins, I don't know who this other girl is, are all sitting there wrapped up in blankets. So Anderson Cooper has a suit and a tie on, and his legs are wrapped up in a blanket. And what's really extraordinary about it is that you can't even tell that Jake Tapper is underneath there. This is a serious news coverage we're getting. We're getting the bobbleheads and then these three people explaining this case to us while wrapped up in blankets, like they're sitting outside by a fire at their home having hot cocoa. And in this clip here, what they're gonna tell us about is they've been calling this the hush money trial. We talked about this last week for so long. And that's how everybody in their audience knows it. That's the branding of it. But here's the thing. There's no actual crime of the crime of hush money. That's not a real crime. And now that we're at trial, they have to reframe it so their audience knows what the hell is going on, at least a little bit. And this is what they do, or attempt to do, in this next clip. They tried to do this all day long. It's all they did, is trying to reframe this trial.
Must be a fun job.
We're learning that Trump is sitting back in his chair and not even looking at the prosecutor as he speaks. And the prosecutor, as part of this opening statement, they're reframing this again, not just as a paperwork crime, right? An effort to cover up this hush money payment by falsifying business records, but an effort to interfere in the 2016 election. And that's key because that is why this is being charged as a felony, even though he's not charged with federal election interference. That's what they're arguing here, that these business records were falsified in an effort to interfere with the 2016 election. The prosecutor said, quote, they formed a conspiracy at that meeting to influence the presidential election by concealing negative information about Mr. Trump in order to help him get elected. And that is really, that is the crux of their argument, that this was all done to help Trump in the 2016 election. In fact, they reprimand me sometimes when I call it the hush money case on air. They say, no, Paula, it is the 2016 election interference case.
Everybody says it's the hush money case.
Yeah.
And do you notice something interesting about the way she described that there?
Uh-huh.
It's an attempt to cover up some negative information that might hurt a candidate's chance of getting elected. You almost might think they're talking about the Hunter Biden laptop story, the way they describe that. But instead, yeah, it's the 2016 election interference case. I'm almost getting impressed with the lack of concern about hypocrisy and the creativity with just, it's like they're trying to rewrite history again on this. It used to be the 2016 election story was Russian interference, but now it's the hush money case.
Yeah. It's all the hush money. I love that they're doing now it's a felony, and it's a felony election interference case. Like, And why were they going with the hush money thing for so long?
Well, because the hush money thing is the branding that their audience can remember. This case is like one of the weakest cases that's probably ever been brought to trial. There's nothing here. They're having to like fabricate this. So Michael Cohen paid off Stormy Daniels without knowing. And then later Trump paid him back for legal services and fees on a retainer. And what they're arguing is that the retainer was an illegal retainer and that it was a whole criminal conspiracy. It's all such a convoluted BS story that it doesn't have a high likelihood of him getting convicted unless you really just chose the right jury that doesn't care about the law or is stupid. And they have to tell their audience that even though Trump might not be convicted, still remember he paid off a porn star, because that's really the message they want to communicate. It's right. about destroying and, his integrity.
That's true. I don't think they really care about a conviction. I think they want the optics, and the optics win for them Absolutely. No matter what.
Except for this image right here with, as some quack says, modesty. They're all in miniskirts. And Brucey says that Anderson doesn't want to be grabbed by the pussy.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
he does not. Yeah. Unless it's Jake Tapper up under that quilt right there. So, let me show you another interesting, speaking of Jake Tapper, this would be one, we have another special guest coming on here in a moment, but right, so Jake Tapper also was getting in on the action today, getting very excited about the coverage of this. Actually, no, that's on here. I just thought this was a very interesting thing for Jake Tapper to ask about, just in the middle of all this coverage. Very quick clip here. Let's see.
Tell us about Mr. Pecker's demeanor.
So, tell us about Mr. Pecker's demeanor, which is what Jake usually says in the privacy of Anderson Cooper's home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about Mr. Pecker's demeanor, Anderson. Yeah. Yeah. So,
was he angry this morning?
Yeah. Yeah. Show me how angry he was.
Angry Pecker.
Whenever David Pecker, who's the guy that owned the tabloid, was friend with Trump, and they say that he did the catch and kill with the stories, whenever he, because he's part of the porn star story. You know, how perfect is that? David Pecker is part of the porn star story. And all day we hear about how, you know, hard Pecker is, and, you know, he got soft at the end, and is he going to stick it up there for Trump? And they get to make all of these things with straight faces. And I got to say, I'm pretty impressed that they can do that with a straight face. There's Trump yeah. looking good again. Okay. All right. So
he does look dashing.
Let's bring on another guest here. Thank you for that tip, Troy. We appreciate that. Or Tony, excuse me. And
yeah, thank you.
Mr. President, I want to get a comment yes. from you if you're there. How was your first day at trial?
It's really, really boring. You know, I fell asleep multiple times.
Right. You didn't, that's what I'm hearing in the news. They had to jar you awake. You weren't paying attention.
Well, you know, it's like going to a Sunday sermon. You know, it's hard to keep your eyes open.
I was going to say, they talk about Stormy Daniels, and they talk about you talking about grabbing women by the...
Just grabbing them all by the pussy. Left it.
Yeah. Well, I have a special clip to play for you guys that I mentioned last week, and I'm glad you're here to see this with us, Mr. President. This is Max Blumenthal's interview that he did with Stormy Daniels 15 years ago. And you guys can stop, tell me to stop whenever, because I haven't watched this in a little while, but it's interesting because to me it illustrates that Stormy Daniels, like many of these public figures, they seem to have a history of just exploiting politics and controversy to build up their stature and line their pockets. All of them do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it means Stormy's telling the truth or she's not telling the truth. I'm just saying it definitely calls into question her story, in my opinion. So here is Stormy being interviewed 15 years ago, I think.
So we're at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Phoenix, Arizona, by the airport. And I've learned that Stormy Daniels, adult industry actress and producer, is staying here. And she's going to discuss with us her potential primary run in the Republican primary in Louisiana against Senator David Vitter.
My name is Stormy Daniels.
Did you know she was running for office back then? Probably not.
No. Yeah. No idea.
I'm the adult film industry. I've been with Wicked Pictures for about 7 years as a contract performer, writer, and director.
And so you're getting involved in the Louisiana Senate race.
Apparently so. I had actually nothing to do with it. I was notified about it through a friend who sent me a link saying, oh my gosh, you're a genius. This is so awesome. And I looked at it. I had nothing to do with this, but it is genius. Yeah. I wish I could take credit for it, but actually I can't. It was a group of guys down in Louisiana that put the whole site together. And I have people put sites about me all the time, and I usually shut them down pretty quickly. But this one was really well done, and I found it pretty amusing. So I kind of just went with it.
So would you enter the Republican primary against David Vitter?
I haven't decided yet. I've never been involved in politics before, but Apparently, they are calling me to duty. And if that's what it takes, then that's what I will do.
And David Vitter made headlines when he confessed to being a client of the DC madam, to paying for sex with several high-priced sex workers. Do you think his hypocrisy is fair game in the race?
And that's what I was going to say. I personally have no issues with his sexual activities or his sexual preferences or whatever it is that he wants to do. My issue with him, I mean, who am I to judge, right? My issue with him is that he's a hypocrite. And, you know, call me what you will, but you can't call me a hypocrite.
And would you challenge David Vitter to a debate right now?
I absolutely would, but I don't think that he has the balls to confront me because he knows I would win. What could he possibly say? And if that doesn't work, then I'd be happy to wrestle him.
Just be happy to wrestle him.
Wow.
Isn't it a bit interesting? We're also dealing with a similar storyline. Not to say that that means it's any less true or more true. I just find it interesting. The theme is very similar.
You had an idea
to determine all of the outcomes of my stuff.
You have women wrestle, you said, Mr. President?
Stormy and I are going to wrestle to determine the outcome of all this.
I think that you guys could do that, and that probably wouldn't even be the most ridiculous thing on television that day.
No,
right now.
I agree.
Not with those bobbleheads and blankets.
Idea about a real doll.
Oh, yeah. No, I always said, you know, the day I figure out how to clone myself, I'll be a genius because I can never be in more than one place at once. Right. So I said, wow. You know.
So he asked someone to take that. He asked her about a real doll, the like a sex doll. And she's talking about cloning herself into a sex doll.
I always said, you know, the day I figure out how to clone myself, I'll be a genius because I can never be in more than one place at once.
Right.
So I said, wow, you know, I should get one of these real dolls and just prop it up at the signings because some of the drunk guys won't even know it's not really me. And we'll just pull the string. Hi, I'm Stormy. Very nice to meet you. This whole campaign thing goes well. I think I can have my real doll debate David Vitter.
Yeah. Do you think you're the real doll, Stormy,
right,
would beat David?
Evidence there that she's a liar and a fraud and a manipulator.
Right. That is very well could be a real doll that's making all these accusations against you right now, Mr. President. Maybe Michael Cohen paid off a real doll.
David Vitter.
I think she could. You know, at least she'll, you know, answer questions. Probably better than he does. He seems to evade everything.
So you have some campaign slogans that you're trying out for your race against David Vitter?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking Stormy Daniels, screwing people honestly. What do you think of that one?
I think it's good because you're the honest candidate in the race. You're the non-hypocrite.
Right. And then I was thinking about, I was thinking for my campaign posters, a lovely shot of me looking beautiful, pan down, leather dominatrix outfit, me with a whip, whipping Louisiana's economy into shape. What do you think?
How about you have the best stimulus package?
That's even better. You got to get on that one.
Now it's foreplay. Right. We're watching.
We got to knock that one up.
Yeah, yeah. I take credit though. And you had another one?
Stormy Daniels. At least I don't wear a diaper. I mean, if he's so awful, he's so awful that they're trying to get me to run. Yeah. I think people really need to go out there and vote. And if I can use my name and my image to bring attention to the fact that people need to register to vote and get people like Vitter out of office, if they hate him so much, why is he there?
So that's the music coming in. You had some quack said the sexy jazz in the background really sets the scene. Yes, it does. There's other videos of her she's on various news stations making similar pitches. The woman is just like all of these people, yet another grifter. Any thoughts?
I mean, I could have told you she was a grifter a long time ago, Brad.
So you're saying that the sex wasn't as good as advertised?
No, never is.
I'm thinking the same thing, Brucey. I'm wondering if anybody's ever asked Max if he, you know, he got a little Stormy himself. It seems like he might have. Yeah, so that guy was, I don't know if he was religious or not, but why not? That fits the brand. If you're going to, in fact, right now for Stormy, I don't know if you saw her Jimmy Kimmel appearance, but she was on Jimmy Kimmel's show and they spent the entire time, like he brought out a little carrot and they talked about the size and shape of your penis, Mr. President, and they were alluding that it wasn't a lot. I don't know if that's true or they're just trying to slander you.
You know, Jimmy Kimmel's a hack.
Right, but are you avoiding the question? Is it true or not? Anything where she would compare it to the size of a carrot? You don't have to answer that if you don't want.
Some carrots are pretty big, Mr. President.
Right.
I mean, look at the carrot that Bugs Bunny carries.
That's a nice sized carrot right there.
Big carrot.
Yeah. You think Bugs Bunny's just going down on a baby carrot?
No, Bugs Bunny would never do such a thing. It'd be beneath him. Yeah. So, all right. Well, we'll see how that case turns out. If that one, he gets convicted, I don't know what the sentence is. It's not much if he gets convicted, although they could try and throw him in prison for maybe up to a couple years, maybe. I don't know. I can't see that happening. I think that happens only if they really truly want to cause a civil war for any of these cases. And maybe that is what they want to do.
No,
maybe
it is. Even if he does get convicted... Even if he does get convicted, you know, it's going to get appealed, but also it'll be a suspended sentence. This is a first time offender, and it's nonviolent. If they did anything more than suspend the sentence with, you know, probation or something, you know, put him on house arrest at Mar-a-Lago, big fucking deal.
Yeah. And all their evidence is based on Michael Cohen, who they branded a liar until he started saying what they wanted.
His supporters
out the rest in the Oval Office. Ian.
You're right, sir. You're right, sir. You know, sir, think about it. You know, half of America or more would come out and camp out at Mar-a-Lago and support you. They'd sing songs. They'd grill and barbecue. You could walk among the people like you're so good at.
Yeah. Yeah. Carrying Stormy Daniels on your back if you wanted to. Mr. President, your mic's muted. We didn't lose you, did we?
I don't know why you want me carrying her on my back.
Well, I'm just saying you could if you wanted to.
You can do anything you want.
Yeah. You could beat the hell out of her right in front of everybody. In Fifth Avenue, I'd cheer you on.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So I have another clip of Michael Douglas, the actor. He was brought on to CNN. He was a big campaign supporter of Hillary back in 2016. I don't know if you guys remember those videos where they had all the celebrities telling us why we should vote for Hillary in a montage. And I used to cut and edit myself into those montages. Well, we have Michael Douglas. He's brought on by Fareed Zakaria to speak with him about whether or not Biden is too old. Now, Michael Douglas himself is about Biden's same age. So,
well, that's what you should do. Is they should go to a senior living center and just interview senior people who are in their 90s. If Biden's too old,
I think they need to surround Biden with people who are over 100 who on his campaign. He needs to go out and campaign in the hot summer heat, and it needs to be nothing but like 100-year-olds. And they just need to start dropping dead. And then the story could be Biden's the only one that didn't drop dead in Iowa this weekend.
You know, Biden reminds me a lot of the Mandelbaum character from Seinfeld.
Which one is that?
Yeah, I'm not familiar, sir.
The old man that was working out Mandelbaum.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. They say you're stronger. Oh, he does. Yeah. Where they have the challenge of strength all the time. And yeah, you got such great cultural and just, you know, comic books, you know, everything, Mr. President. It's very impressive. Here is Fareed talking to Michael Douglas.
So you and Biden are about the same age. What do you think, you know, are you one of those people who wished he had bowed out?
I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut it back, but why would you put that picture on screen right there?
Because he's about to get into his F-15.
People who wished he had bowed out.
The one that they all love so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dark Brandon.
Field, choose somebody else. How do you think about that?
Well, I think that I walk a little similar to him. And the people that I've talked to and everybody that I have say he's as sharp as a tack. He's fine.
So I want to take that back. I want you to watch. Even he has a hard time saying that. He hesitated a little. He knows it's bullshit.
Well, he's not going to own it. He says all the people I talk to and the people that they talk to and the people that they talk to.
Yeah, but not him.
He's not going to own it, though.
Yeah. And what, does he sit around all day on the phone with Biden staffers checking in?
I think he walks a lot like I do.
What kind of answer is that? He walks a lot like me.
I'm a better dancer, but, you know.
He should get up and show us.
Yeah.
What? So is that walk, that's the short step?
I guess that's a short step. It's the one that makes me realize how important mobility is today? And just, you know.
Biden has brought that awareness. He should run on that he's brought that awareness.
You should start selling a mobility routine. You need some more add-ons with
yoga
show.
With Biden, yoga with the president.
No, with you, Brad.
Oh, not me.
You
know.
Yeah, Brad. Brad.
I'm not revealing my yoga routine to anybody. Ian.
People who wished he had bowed out, let the field choose somebody else. How do you think about that?
Well, I think that I walk a little similar to him. And the people that I've talked to and everybody that I have say he's as sharp as a tack.
He can't even say it.
We all have an issue with memories.
Who do you talk to?
As we get older, we forget names.
Who do you talk to? Your butcher?
He's overcome a stutter.
He's overcome a stutter. He walks like me, and maybe some bad people I talk to, and he's overcome a stutter.
So, I mean, he's definitely over 35, and that's what the Constitution says you have to be.
He caught some breath today, you know.
We forget names, something. He's overcome a stutter in his life, and sometimes he might. But
he can't even commit to this. So they were like, look, you can come on and promote your show. He plays Benjamin Franklin on this Apple show. But you just got to pretend that Biden is perfectly okay. And he can't even do that.
Yeah, which also... I have no interest in seeing Michael Douglas play Ben Franklin. He's like the last person. I don't see him as Franklin.
I disagree, Ian. I think Michael Douglas is a fabulous actor. I can separate the artist from the opinion. I understand that some people don't have that fortitude, but I have an appreciation for art that way. And Michael Douglas is a wonderful, fantastic actor. Jewel of the Nile, great.
I like him a lot. I think he's miscast in this one. I just don't think he's...
I think it's terrible. Yeah, but I have to say, Mr. President, to take the high road there, I mean, Michael Douglas would have you at the guillotine in a second.
Yeah. You ever think about coming out with a movie about your life story? You could just play yourself.
You could play it. Yeah, we'll de-age you with the digital technology.
They did that with Michael Douglas for...
Yeah.
Well, Michael Douglas did a movie on his own life story.
Yeah, he played a teenager just recently. He played a 15-year-old.
No, but they de-aged him in one of those Marvel movies, right?
They did that to De Niro also.
Yeah, that was ridiculous looking.
They look so stupid. Oh, man, it's just even this guy, and he continues.
Let's just say that
I'm sorry to keep playing this back. Look at him searching for how to answer. He can't even bring himself to do it.
Yeah.
Let's just say that his entire cabinet, including his vice president, everybody's in his cabinet,
would be more than happy
to work with him again in the next term.
How's he to speak for a black?
Because they control him.
About the other candidate running, because nobody in his cabinet from 2016 wants to be involved with him.
So the question is, do you have a problem with his age? And the answer is kind of a long meandering. He walks like me. I know some people who say he's sharp as attack. I let's say that the people around him like him and want to work with him again, and the other people don't like the other guy. So he never said yes to that question that he would support him himself.
Right. Yeah, well, he can't commit to it. He doesn't want to get involved. But then he brings up the whole thing about the cabinet and his cabinet choices. And, you know, that's not something Biden should be bragging about. His cabinet is one of the worst. None of the people have any connections with the business world whatsoever.
No,
and, you know, that... What's that?
Only government.
Exactly. And that means they have no connection with people. They're progressive little tyrants. Yeah, falling down does hold up today.
These laughs ask if falling down still holds up today.
It used
does. To be a favorite 30 years
I was,
ago.
I was watching that just not too long ago. When did I become the bad guy?
All right, so he did ask him a few more questions, and this was his last I can't remember what he had asked him about here, but some similar about the age and whether you support him, I think. said.
This is probably the most important election of my lifetime.
Always is.
I share with my kids through the Vietnam War, this is the most critical time in my lifetime that I can remember.
I love he references how he tells his kids. His kids are like 70. Right? <It's> like,
we're at right now. We need somebody in control and power who has some experience and knows how to work on a global situation. The world, you can't ask for one side for us to be active globally, but then internally say we're just going to isolate. It doesn't work that way anymore. I think this is a year also for us to really remind ourselves about local elections.
Yeah, there you
and
go.
I think if we're going to kind of adjust, we have to start from the bottom up, not from the top down. And so I think all of us who vote for presidents should be actively involved in our local elections too.
So that's something that I actually brought up at the Libertarian debate, because that is true that the power that you have is locally. But the George Soroses of the world and these people like Michael Douglas, well, he's just a player in this, they're making him deliver this message, but they have targeted the local elections to take over them, to make it look like ground up grassroots effort, AstroTurf, to just funnel down this stuff from the top, to make it look like the people from the bottom want what is at the top. My question was about, like, you know, how what do you do about that? And I think it's a challenging thing. But they place activists and all these people, they try to get them in precincts all around the country. And I thought it was interesting to see that this to me appears to be a messaging point that we're going to hear more and more about. And I have a feeling we're going to start seeing more Stacey Abrams here pretty soon.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, it's hard to see more.
Who's influenced? Is Michael Douglas over, is what I'd like to know. I don't know.
Who's the target audience?
Right.
That is a good question. I don't think he's the heartthrob he used to be. Maybe they're trying to target the older generation who remembers his movies. People a little bit younger than him, people his age. It's a good question. Brucey says they take out local money and distribute it globally. Absolutely. They want to. They have if you're involved in local politics, I put out get out the don't vote campaigns for the federal stuff, because I just anybody who tries to do the get out the vote thing, and I'm like, no, it's a kick in the face or a punch in the nose. And they tell me I'm a Russian and I'm an evil propagandist, or I'm like, no, that's like you're this is the oldest propaganda tactic in the book, trying to shame people into voting and telling them they have no say if they don't. So if nobody ever voted ever, it would completely take away all of their power. Now, I know that isn't practical, but at the local level, there is room to exercise influence. But you got to watch out now. You got to be careful, and you got to question people, because these people are coming.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I've had, I hear a lot among my liberal friends of them when they disagree about, well, I'm voting for RFK because that's where my conscience is. And the others will say, well, that's basically a vote for Trump, so you might as well just vote for Trump.
You might as well suck Putin off.
And I'm like, you know, I thought you guys were all about a democracy. Like, in a democracy, people get to vote for whoever they want to fucking vote for.
Absolutely. And they have the right to not vote if
they
that's what
that
they
too.
Choose.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they still have a right to complain.
Yeah, and Dana says, yeah, right. And Dana says, I just wanted to stop texting me. I don't know that that's ever going to happen. I get dozens of texts from these people all the day. Hey, it's Joe Biden.
Are you
all
still getting them? Dude, I'm not getting any of them. I recently signed up for the Do Not Call, and I wonder if that's what did it. But I haven't gotten a single text message from a candidate.
Now, I got a picture of Joe Biden's nose really close up. You could tell he was sniffing.
Yeah.
It just said, vote for Joe. That's all it said right there. All right. So I wanted to, Ian, I had something that you made me think of this the other day, and I actually think about this quite a bit. This is a little bit of a change in direction here.
Okay.
I think about fish a lot, because I think that we have completely misunderstood fish. We talked about this the other day. And
you're talking about the band?
No, I'm talking about fish.
No, like koi. Like
so goldfish. The oldest goldfish on record lived to be 43 years old.
Wow.
And the average lifespan of a goldfish in an environment outside of a bowl, 10 to 15, sometimes 20 years from what I read.
But that life is full of much more meaning than a 43-year-old fish in a goldfish bowl, wouldn't you say?
Say that goldfish has not seen a whole lot in 43 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think
right. You can't put them in a creek in the back of somebody's house. Right.
Yeah. I almost made that mistake one time.
Yeah. You would have created
a natural disaster.
Totally. But it just got me thinking, man, people I know, they get a bag of goldfish and they're dead. They leave them in the car and they're dead before they even get home. And now I'm like, you just killed a bag full of living beings that could have lived three decades, maybe four, if they're lucky.
But how miserable.
Imagine a bag of puppies, Ian.
Yeah. Do you think this fish, and the fish has no concept of time, doesn't know that, fish has no idea whether it lived 5 minutes or 43 years.
Or does it?
That's what now I'm wondering.
Yes. They're starting to say, now I don't know if the studies are true, but they're starting to say, oh shoot, fish have longer memories than we thought. And I'm telling you, the fish are organizing and they're going to be coming for us.
Well, I'm fine. I hate the taste of fish. Very few fish I like.
It's disgusting to me.
Yeah. So they're not going to really go out.
I go outside every time I see a body of water and I say, I'm not with the rest of them.
Yeah. That's the I always imagine that if all the fish come to take over, you know, they'll be forgiving to those of us that didn't really like to eat fish anyways.
Yeah, right? I don't eat fish because I fear the fish. I see the orcas tipping over ships in the ocean and they're training orcas to do it. And I don't want any part of this. There's a lot more of them than there is us. And I don't know what's in the ocean, to be honest with you. There's a worlds in there that we don't know anything about. D's Laughs says once they got an actor like Reagan in, they knew people would follow the Hollywood types. That is, getting Reagan in as president, I've always thought that was interesting. I know Bernays, back in the 20s, one of the ways he made president, I think it was, who was it, Woodrow Wilson? It might not have been Wilson. I can't remember which president it was that had a reputation for being super boring. Bernays brought in a bunch of celebrities and surrounded that president by celebrities to make him look cool. Then they reported on it.
Yeah.
And Reagan was like the head of SAG, wasn't he, at one point, I believe. And he was an FBI informant and super charming guy. You always wonder, I do anyway, what else was he tied to? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Do you like Reagan, Mr. President? Mr. President, you're on mute.
You know, I'm a big fan of Ronald Reagan, Brad. I'm a big fan of him. I'd like to think that he wasn't corrupted by the deep state.
Well, I hope he wasn't either, but we never know. All right, so a few more minutes here. Speaking of Stacey Abrams, that was a setup for her. She was in the news again, doing what she does best, defending identity politics. Here she is.
Biden, and we know that we should be terrified of the person who wants to come back into the White House, strip us of our rights, rescind the economic progress that we've made, and undermine the democracy that we hold to be so dear.
You did a lot of work that laid the groundwork for Georgia to get the first two Democratic senators in a long time.
I've never gotten used to him being skinny.
First Black senator.
Yep. Yeah, he looks a little strange, doesn't
he? Never gotten used to that.
I thought that was a puppet.
No, I'm always used to big old fat Al Sharpton. I've never gotten used to skinny little big head Al Sharpton.
Yeah, he looks strange.
Do you fear with all of the demagoguery and the real, I would say, base anti-women, anti-Black, anti-Jewish kind of campaigning that we're seeing out of the Trumpsters? Do you fear that that could be wiped away if we're not alert and mobilize the base?
We have to remember that every victory, built into every victory, are the seeds of defeat. But also built into every defeat are the seeds of victory.
Shut
we have seen
up.
Victory, but we cannot rest on victory and think that it is impermeable and impervious to harm. What we know is that the attack on diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, is an attack on democracy. It's an attack on education.
Oh, really?
It's an attack on how our economy works, because what Reverend Warnock and John Ossoff, what Senator Ossoff and Senator Warnock represent are pathways to the American dream. They are proof points. And those proof points scare those who want this world to be more narrow and more restrictive. And so we have to recognize that our opportunity to hold to those successes requires our constant attention, our constant tending. You know, voting is not magic. Voting is medicine. It also means that it's
voting is medicine.
We can't have a moment of success. We have to keep working constantly.
Voting is medicine.
Yeah. So Stacey Abrams is the get out the vote to communities that don't vote as much. Her team would go to bars. They'd sign up drunk people. They would bus people to the election polls, and they'd bring her out to do the voting and to the identity politics.
They wouldn't bus a friend. They just store them up inside of her pussy and then.
Mr. President, you be careful what you say. It's so close to the election.
Yeah, right. You want to be. I don't even know if there's a hand big enough on this planet to grab that one, Mr. President.
Just stuffing folks up in there and walking them down to the election.
All right, so you're saying that's how she rigs the election? Is she goes into the booth and she opens it up and all these people fall out?
Yeah,
and they go vote multiple times.
Like she's a Trojan horse for voters,
very literally, yeah. Trojan horse for voters. Yes, Irie said that Douglas was hammered in the in that clip. There, he did kind of seem hammered, and magical vote riggers, and then. Brucey says they'll be using that in court tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. That would be hilarious if some of the things you said here tonight, Mr. President, got brought up in court and they put a gag order on the president. And yes, Dana, Stacey Abrams here did play the president of Earth on the new DEI-filled Star Trek.
That's true.
You know, I tried watching that show. I don't like 1 minute of it. Not 1 minute.
That's probably because it's terrible.
The ship looks stupid.
The old one is the original series is so comforting and fun to watch, you know?
But the series now, I don't know if you don't find this fun to watch, Ian, but there'll be an action storyline, and they're right in the middle of the action storyline. We'll cut to a 7-minute scene about someone being upset that they weren't called they. And having the courage to tell their superior that their pronouns are they.
That's a real scene.
That is real. That is a real scene.
They're still dealing with that 900 years in the future?
Yes, 900 years in the future. Well, no, actually, when they dealt with it on Star Trek, what I thought was really interesting is that show that she was on, Discovery, the first few seasons of it occurred before the original series. So you have a ship full of, you have a black chick as like the captain or the number one, and then the captain. And then you have nothing but women on the control. There's zero white dudes in the show, except the bad guy.
That ship got lost in space.
and Aurora, or whatever her name is, who was the hot black chick, yeah, so she was not hot at all, and then she got hot on the original series, apparently, and there's a bunch, there's they-thems all over the ship before the original series, then you get to the original series, and it's just nothing but white dudes for three or four years.
they don't have an episode explaining what happened to all the white
people? No, they should clarify what happened.
What happened to all the white people, guys?
You guys were so... There's so much equality, and then all of a sudden, Captain Kirk comes in and takes over. Irie wants to know if you've been drinking a little too, Mr. President. I know that you don't drink, but people get curious these days, especially when we see people like Michael Douglas on screen.
No, you know what I was drinking, though, was some water with fruit in it. That's what I've been doing lately. I've been cutting up fruit, putting it in my water.
Good for you, Mr.
Is that a metaphor?
No, it's a fact.
All right, so to make sure. All right, so Stacey Abrams there defending identity politics and defending DEI, which you know has really benefited off of DEI because she knows how to exploit identity politics, is Stacey Abrams.
Her whole grift goes away if they get rid of DEI.
Absolutely. And moving from one large woman to another one, Fannie Willis. There's a competition here happening in Atlanta, I think. So who's going to win out in Atlanta as the potato for the Democrat?
I take Fannie over Stacey.
Why?
I mean, what do you mean, why?
Why do you choose her?
Well, because if I had to, she's just got, I don't know, she's sexier than Stacy for sure.
That's the first time she's, I mean, that's why she likes having Stacy around. She takes Stacy to bar, so guys, say that. Right there.
I'm not saying I'm attracted to her or I have a crush on her or anything. I'm just saying that if I had to choose.
Wait a minute, you have a crush on Fanny?
He's got a crush on Fanny Willis. No, so Stacy and Fanny both were part of the Black Illuminati Divine Nine fraternities. They run in the same circles, and it feels like they're on the same team, but inevitably one of them is going to have to say, I'm in charge. And
do you think Fanny lives inside of...
She might. She might live inside Stacy Abrams. I don't know. I have not been in there.
Like a turducken.
Like a turducken, exactly.
Absolutely, a turducken.
It's Fanny and Stacy, the terrible woman up in New York.
I tell you this. If you are in a dark alley and you turn around and Stacey Abrams and Fanny Willis are walking down that alley, you're in trouble.
Probably.
Yeah, you're in a lot of trouble because there's no escaping that. And Fanny, while she has been exposed to be completely corrupt, I've exposed her corruption probably more than anybody because it goes even deeper than what they actually talk about. But she received an award the other day in the midst of all of this from Democrats on this past Friday. And the award was from Cobb County Democrats, I believe. Yeah, she was honored with the Woman of Influence Award at the Cobb County Democratic Committee's annual fundraising gala. And the gala serves as the largest fundraiser for candidates running for office.
These awards that are given out are ridiculous. These awards are just preposterous. And people put these up in their office. I used to rent office space with a guy who was like this. You know, he had the fake golf putting green in his office.
Oh, did he?
Oh my God. Such a douchebag. Such a douchebag. Oh gosh. And he used to get set up to go. He used to like go to these award things. And I'll bet you she somehow paid for it. She knew she traded some deal to get this stupid award.
Well, Cobb County is where she hired Nathan Wade and where she hired I can't remember the other woman's name, the one who Nathan Wade was having sex with before her, and brought them both to Fulton County. Yeah, the thruple we talked about, the woman.
Is that like you're jealous of him?
Yeah. When I finally go full trans, I'm going after this Woman of Influence Award. I'm winning this
thing. You'll deserve it more than anybody else I know. But I mean, Cobb County is where a lot of this stuff originated when it comes to So they succeeded in the corruption Nathan Wade did in Cobb County, and then he got promoted up to Fulton to bang Fanny, and now she's winning the woman. And it's not wrong. She has had
woman
influence.
Of influence.
Yeah, she has been influential. That's true. Definitely true.
That's true.
And she also is declining to debate.
Aren't y'all really women of influence?
Yeah.
Well,
would you say,
Ian,
aren't they all?
Aren't we all?
Well, Ian, you could be. Jeff has a recommendation for how you can be a good woman of influence. He says, get a good set of tits, man.
Yeah, I'll need a good set of tits, and I'll need a good tits man.
Exactly. You can't get an ass man to get a good set of tits.
I'll need a tits man to keep those tits, you know,
right,
tip top.
So, Irie B says, evil whites, of course. Yes, very, we are. That's the way they like to portray it in the media. And Fanny declined to debate her opponents who are running up against her for district attorney because she doesn't need to.
Why? Why should?
Because they're going to have her. They're going to have him. She's going to win anyway.
Because in a democracy, people do not need to hear the people they're trying to elect speak to one another.
No, why?
That's not what we do in a democracy, Brad.
Do you guys think that there's going to be a debate between Trump and Biden?
Mm-mm. I don't think there's going to be one.
I've been wanting to debate him for years, but he keeps tucking his tail between his leg and throwing around names like Corn Pop.
May I give you some unsolicited advice for the debate? I know you're getting lots of advice about the debate, but can I?
Well,
give
you
some?
Know, I probably wouldn't get any better than yours, Ian.
Well, let me. Okay, first time you debated him, you came out real angry. Okay. And this time around, what I need you to do is just let him keep falling on his face and roll your eyes and smirk. Okay. That's all you have to do.
I mean, but he just makes me so angry.
I know. I know. Maybe you could practice some breathing exercises.
Like Wim Hof?
Yeah, like Wim Hof. Yeah, that's a great, yes, exactly. But I think...
Well, you know, I do a lot of grounding and a lot of chi work.
Good. Good. Well, you know, one of my friends, you know, who's not going to vote for you, and you know I'm going to, sir, because I think you're the funniest president who's ever existed, and you never get an opportunity to vote for a funny president.
I mean, how many presidents have hosted Comedy Central roasts?
Exactly. Exactly.
I would love to see Biden host it right now.
You know, he said to me, you know, all the terrible things that you're going to do. And I said, I don't know, but I'm usually better the second attempt when I make a second attempt at something, right?
Like to him, I mean, personally, the terrible things or?
No, he's just, a lot of people are afraid that you're going to, like, you know, Hillary Clinton said you're going to kill your opposition. Sir, that's what she said.
Yeah, I saw that.
Come in and day one, it's just going to be martial law. And everybody's going to be strapped down to their beds.
Are you being, you're being serious right now? Because they'll say you're
being serious. I'm serious right now.
So you can't, it's a post-ironic humor society, so you can't ever tell anymore. Isn't that right?
Yeah, yeah, you can't tell. Yeah. You have to really check in.
So check this out here. This Kanye West was on... podcast something the other day, a little language here, but he was asked about who he would have a throuple with, Mr. President.
Oh, your God. Wife, who's one other woman y'all gonna have a threesome with? You can pick anyone in the world. There's just one person. I think I know what you're thinking, but I'm not even gonna say no names. I just want to see what you would think.
Michelle Obama.
Gotta fuck the president's wife.
That is hilarious. That's new?
Yeah, that's new.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Is that like a podcast? Is that like his podcast?
I have no idea.
So that's what I think. You know, a lot of these really rich people, like I listen, man, I think Kanye's put out some amazing albums, but like, these are the types of conversations that 15-year-olds have, right?
Right, yeah.
This is
yeah.
not the kind of conversation you sit around with your buddy and go, hey, okay, so who would you have a threesome with your wife? And be like, dude, come on, can we talk about anything else? Like, I don't want to, like...
It'd be best the answer.
That's weird,
say.
Right?
Yeah,
like, that's
yeah.
weird. That's a weird thing for grown men to talk about.
But I think it's what grown men also always talk about. Because we're only, I think grown men are
locker room talking.
I think we're teenagers until the day we die.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, yes, but on a podcast, like, it just seems so weird to me. I mean, I'm not a prude or anything. It just seems like a weird question. I think they do a lot of drugs over there, don't you think? Like hard stuff.
Probably.
Like really, really hard. Is he still into the, does he still have his church?
Is he still going does he? Oh, I don't know the one that he. Yeah, I have no
he
idea.
Had a church for a while, man.
Yeah, all I see is the photos of his wife naked all the time, walking around with headlines like right. "shocking outfit that you know Yee's wife wore." And it's like, who cares? Stop. It's shocking that you're following them all the time.
The sad thing is, man, is that he's got so much money. There's so many people that are dependent upon giving him whatever he wants to get a paycheck. They're gonna kill him.
Maybe. They've already written him off as crazy a couple of times.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're giving him whatever he wants because these guys need to get a paycheck, and that's really sad.
So
that's
I got
what they did with Michael, you know.
Yeah. I got one more clip, or just, I have not watched this video, but I think you guys might remember this person. I do because I know her. I've done shows with her. She never liked me. I never did anything to her. She didn't like me. And she's some people might say she's a DEI hire. And then she kind of got a little bit big for her britches, in my opinion, and some others, and started, you know, kind of looking her nose down at people. And this is the job that she took once she left Relapse Theater and other places in Atlanta. And she took a job where I always thought she was funny. Ever since she got on TV, I've never thought she was funny because all she does is regurgitate propaganda talking points, and it's Dulce Sloan. Are you guys remember her?
I know who she is, yeah.
And Dulce here. Hold on. Yeah, there she is. So Dulce got to do a little segment on January 6th the other day, and I've been wanting to watch it, so I figured I'd watch it with you guys since we all know her. Let's see what she has to say. You can see the very Stacey Abrams, Fannie Willis-like outfit you got going on there.
Hello, friends. Welcome to The Daily Show. I'm Dulce Sloan. We've got so much to talk about tonight. Everybody's trying to get out of the Trump trial. Jordan Klepper is at the courthouse, and John Leguizamo will tell politicians how to round up Latinos. Oh, but not like that. No, 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 not like that. But first, let's get right into our ongoing coverage of America's Most Tremendously Wanted.
The whole thing is a scam.
What they think is funny is, like, everyone who supports Trump thinks that what they've just made here is awesome. They think that's badass, and they will just own it. Yeah, they just make the same things. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
Before we get into Trump's trial, let's be clear about which trial this is. Is it the classified documents trial? No. The January 6th trial? No. The Georgia RICO trial? No. The sexual assault defamation trial? No. The real estate trial? No. It's the porn money hush love sex music trial.
Which we heard the reframing of earlier.
Dude treats criminal charges like Pokemon. He's trying to catch them all. Now, to be clear, Trump is not on trial for sleeping with the porn star or paying her hush money. He's on trial because he allegedly falsified business documents to cover up the hush money.
This is the exact same thing that we heard on CNN earlier, verbatim.
Which could be construed as an unreported campaign expense. This is the most complicated plot a porn star has ever been involved in.
But those producers got clap sign going.
Oh, yeah, they do. For all 50 audience
members.
So
these last 2 days, they've been trying to pick jurors. And so far, they've chosen six, but it's been a lot harder than they expected.
The first batch of 96 potential jurors was whittled down to just about a third by the end of Monday. This morning, several more were dismissed, one because she had a scheduling conflict, another wasn't feeling well.
A juror had a wedding to get to.
Another individual said that they're concerned about their dog and was promptly dismissed because, like the other 65 million American households that own dogs, frankly, it's, of course, going to be at somebody's forefront of the mind.
I don't know, pause that. Look at this guy in the forefront here of this photo. What is that? Is that an alien?
He's shifting. He's shifting.
He looks like it. That looks like a Photoshop or not a real person right there.
So wait. People who think about their dogs too much get dismissed? A jury with no white people?
I guess white people are the only ones who own dogs.
What's so funny? Well, what's so sad about it is she's funnier than this.
She's a lot funnier than this. But she used to always do this race shit. When she did, I don't know if you guys remember the calendar that they did at the theater a couple years in a row. They had the women of the theater.
I do.
And she was a part of it. And there was people involved in creating it and photographers and others who are not Republicans who got sick and tired of Dulce making everything about all these white people, these effing white people. And it's that very attitude that is the DEI requirement that got her she's funny. Like, she is a funny person. I've never seen her be funny on Comedy Central.
But how old is she?
I have no idea. She's probably in her 40s.
Is she in her 40s?
We've had to guess, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, I just don't remember this being a problem with me and my buddies growing up. And I went to a very multicultural high school. It was the second largest in the state of Florida. And, I mean, I'm in my 50s now, so But this was just not, I'm not saying everything was rosy, but it wasn't on top of mind. It was just like, oh, that's Jermichael, or that's Jose. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't.
I mean, most people I know, regardless of their race, think that this kind of stuff is just, it's just BS. They just try to pump it.
Like, we used to just fuck with each other about it.
John Stewart.
Do I?
Don't say the new John
Stewart. No, what they're doing is they have John Stewart come in on Mondays, I think, and he does one show. And John Stewart is so much better at it than everybody else. He's still very sharp in the way he does it. Obviously, I don't agree with everything he says, but
no,
he does it a lot better. Well, after that, the performances are just not even close to him.
Well, Deez Laugh said something a few minutes ago that he couldn't believe that he used to watch this stuff. I used to listen to all this stuff, man.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I was big into Al Franken and, you know, all this, you know, all the, this, I was a huge into the Democratic stuff, especially when George W. Bush was president, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah. And then I discovered libertarianism around 2006.
Right. Yeah. And now we're all autistic.
Now we're all autistic. And now I don't know what I am. I just, I know this time around, I just want to keep the show going. I'm having fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I think, you know, and I think that's normal. I think most people, I think they try and harden people off into certain labels and parties because that's how you divide and conquer. But I think when it comes down to it, I don't think really anybody falls directly into any of these categories they try and put us in. Mm-hmm. But they need to classify us that way so they can make us fight with each other all the time. Mm-hmm. And Dulce, with this interesting outfit she's wearing here, she looks like a giant flower, playing her role perfectly.
How is that fair to Trump? Just have them bring the dogs to court. I see you bringing them damn dogs to every restaurant I go to anyway. Never stopped you before. Now, it's hard finding enough jurors who have the time to serve. But the real challenge is finding jurors who have never said anything bad about Trump.
Part of the day was spent examining prospective jurors' old social media posts about Trump while the former president looked on. One juror was dismissed for having posted, "Lock him up," and another for sharing an AI video in which Trump appeared to say, "I'm dumb as..." Trump seemed to scowl at a 2016 meme showing photos of him and Barack Obama with the caption, "I don't think this is what they meant by orange is the new black."
This car is rusted.
That's an old meme, for like 6 years old.
It's a courthouse, not a high school cafeteria. He's got to be thinking, I thought my dick was on trial, not my self-esteem. Wouldn't it be funny if this is the first time Trump thought, like, if Trump just found out people think he's orange? He's like, hold on, you're telling me my skin is not a natural color? You're telling me your sheets don't look like fruit by the foot? Crazy. But if you think the jurors were trying to get out of this trial, that's nothing compared to the excuses Trump was coming up with.
Speaking outside the courtroom yesterday, Trump criticized the judge overseeing the case for not ruling on his request to pause the trial next month so he can attend his son's high school graduation ceremony.
It looks like the judge didn't even allow me to receive the scan. It's a scam you got.
Trump returned to the issue later in the day, writing on Truth Social, "Who will explain for me, to my wonderful son, Barron, that his dad will likely not be allowed to attend his graduation ceremony?"
You want someone to explain to your son, for you, why you can't be at his graduation? Pick me, 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 pick me. Listen, no problem, no problem, no.
Tell us, Dulce.
Hey, I will do it.
There you go. Predictable. It is very cringe, Deezla.
Hi, Barron. It's your Auntie Dulce. Bad news, Bubba. Daddy can't come to your graduation because he banged a porn star.
No,
now,
that's
there
a really
was
good...
one person who actually wanted to be at...
Wait, that was her joke? That was her... All that setup and her punchline, he's banged a porn star, and she didn't elaborate on that. So... Dude. Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
They're just so bad. They're so, this is just not funny anymore. It's just such an old way of writing and performing. It's just.
Well, you know, I'll tell you the problem, and I've thought about this obviously with a lot of these people, but since I knew her back in the day, I wasn't like friends with her. We weren't close ever, but I knew of her. We saw each other all the time, and she definitely, for some reason, didn't like me. She doesn't know anything about what's actually going on. I can tell you that she has not done research on any of this. She hasn't looked into any of these trials. This is all information coming from the writers of all of this.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
When your
writers wrote this, she didn't write this. She helped.
Right. When you're doing a joke, it especially if you want to have your point of view, you need to know about the subject that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And when you don't, it's going to come out as formulaic. I mean, this is cookie cutter shit right here.
Oh, not only that, but it's you can just keep flipping the channel, and every single comedian like this with this point of view is telling the same joke. They're all
right,
telling
yeah.
the same joke.
I think Kimmel and what's his name, Colbert, had the exact same headlines
the
other day for their punchlines. Yeah, so we don't need to watch any more Dulce. I do wish her the best of luck, but once she started big time and everybody, when I know she called a friend of ours wanting to do a show, I won't say the names, but this is somebody who pretty much gave her a start, and she started acting like a big bitch to this person and making all these demands, and they were like, go screw yourself. Okay, if you're gonna behave like that. But and Dan, you're right, who doesn't like Binkley? I agree. There are a few that don't.
It's but fair.
So any final closing thoughts, you guys? I'm all out of material.
I think we're gonna get through this. I do. I think it's gonna be a crazy year up ahead. Yeah, I don't know, man. I do think that the Democrats don't care about the outcomes of these cases. It's just the optics. They're engaging in that, you know, they're using these cases as a form of protest. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's the optics of it.
Yeah, because if they win, he's a criminal. How could you vote for him? If they lose, the system is broken, just like we said all along.
You know, unless they really want to cause a major internal conflict, then they put him in jail.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about any kind of civil war. I just think America is way too passive. I mean, they just everyone just rolled over for COVID. There were no militias, no nationalist militias rolled out and did anything. Like everyone just, nobody did anything.
Right. So what I think it gets to in that is, the small percentage of people who do something, and then the masses on either side supporting those efforts.
China is a great example of what would happen. That's where things are headed. You know, the Chinese, they don't have a way to protest against their government, so they just get in their cars and run each other over. It's a real phenomenon over there.
Really?
It's called revenge. It's like society revenge murder. I'm screwing the name up, but they do. That's what they do. They did it like in March was like the deadliest month in a long time because it was right after the close of the government closed. And basically they get on TV or whatever and they go, hey, remember we made all these decisions and fuck you. We can do whatever we want. And so people always freak out. And that's why they go out and they stab little kids. They go to they will target children because they know that that's the most painful thing they can do to society. I froze,
right.
Didn't I?
Your camera's froze a little bit, but we can still hear you.
Okay.
We still hear you fine. So you make a good point there. They allow that stuff here in the U.S. And that's what the protest action they do over here. I'm all about supporting causes, but to me, most of the protests that get attention over here are setups to push an agenda. Like if you are truly believing something and you go to one of these, I think you're likely to end up on an FBI wanted list or arrested. Like
for sure,
January.
I do believe they're
six people,
or you'll get hurt or somehow damaged
right.
in the future.
Yeah, Dulce, by the way, fits very very well as also she. I don't know if she was originally from Atlanta, but definitely lived in Atlanta for a while, so fits in that Fannie Willis and Stacey Abrams mold. And I want to go back to what Tyler said here a moment ago. What was it you saw, Tyler? I'm trying to find your comment here. You saw somebody, saw a dude, and this is in Atlanta, the Atlanta area, the Woodstock area, on 92. I know where 92 is. Waving a Black Lives Matter flag. So he was just walking in the street waving a Black Lives Matter flag. He wasn't driving when he was doing it. And I think he was saying that that had to be somebody who was paid to do that. And that's very possible. I think that people are paid to do these things, but I also think that people can be convinced and inspired by those who are paid to do it. And I think that's the idea, is to get a few people who are, you know, have some magnetism, who can go inspire people, who identify with them, and they get paid to do the organizing action. Then all the activists go put their bodies on the line, as Stacey Abrams says it, and they end up in jail and arrested, and their lives kind of destroyed for maybe even a long period of time, while the people who organize them gets their bump in pay and their rise in their political stardom. And that's why you can't ever trust any of these organizers, I think. Doing a dance. Okay, I've seen the one. Yeah, so the ones doing a dance on the corner, I think there's probably some payment there for sure. Hey, it pays to be an activist. That's for sure. It's a job, no doubt. Mr. President, your mic's on mute. Do you have any closing thoughts? We lose you, Mr. President? We might have to send a team over there to check on the president.
Yeah, we might have lost him. Maybe he fell asleep.
I think he's gone. And it was early in the morning for sure. No, you're right, though, Tyler. I can't imagine getting up in the morning and saying, what am I going to do today? I don't care what the cause is, whether it's Black Lives Matter or libertarians, whatever, and saying, I'm going to go get up and I'm going to go stand on the corner and swirl a flag around for free and dance on the street. It's going to call critical attention to you.
Any flag. Like, I don't get out. I don't wear any kind of political T-shirt or anything.
Wait a minute. Not even the Ukrainian flag?
Oh, no. Of course I wear the Ukrainian flag. Sorry, my camera's glitching out here. Of course I wear the Ukrainian flag. I'm not a monster. Of course I won't stop Putin. He's the next Hitler. I don't ever wear political stuff. I don't ever put political bumper stickers on my car.
Me either.
I think it's so annoying when someone has a bumper sticker on there that's 8 years old. It's like, why do you still have the Obama 08 sticker on your car?
Yeah, I only want them if they're like really redneck and they're like tits or something like that.
Yeah. Although my parents have a box of like these different things, like Nixon things and like my aunt, she made a poodle skirt that said I like Ike. They have all that kind of stuff. But I don't have it. You know, it's just funny like that. I think they made a lot more of that kind of political swag back then. Like they've got a Nixon watch that like when it ticks, his eyes go back and forth like. And he looks like shifty.
Really? That's funny. Had those products back then. It seems like they're everywhere now with Amazon. Anybody can make them.
Yeah.
It's cool they had them there back then.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, JC. It's good to see you, JC. You know, right there. Good to close the show with a hi to JC. Yeah. Thanks for joining us. Thank you guys for watching. Ian, is there anywhere you'd like to direct people? We can hear you fine, even though your video is glitching out.
Not yet. I'm working on some stuff. That's why I got the new setup behind me. I got some more stuff coming. I've been, there's some stuff in my laboratory I've been cooking up.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it and sharing it with everybody. And Mr. President, his mic's on mute. We might have lost him. I might have to send a team over to check on him. You can check his work out at V-Dubs on Twitch and also Action Show Studios on YouTube and wherever else. You can find me, youtube.com/Brad Binkley, Rumble/The Prop Report, at Freedom Act Radio, and patreon.com/The Propaganda Report. Thank you guys for watching and participating in the chat. Great stuff. We will talk to you next time. Have a fantastic rest of your day. And...